All right, I want you to take your Bibles. I'm going to read three passages of Scripture tonight to get us started, but I'll just ask you to turn to the first one. That's in Matthew chapter 19, and then I'll read a verse from Proverbs and then a couple of verses from Hebrews. And you might ask, well, how do all these verses go together? And I'll just tell you before I read them how they go together. I want to talk about relationships tonight and how to make relationships last. I entitled a little Bible study tonight, Four, F-O-U-R, the number four, fours, F-O-R, four fours to preserve life relationships. And so I'll be talking about some of the different relationships that we have. And so the verses I'm going to read talk about the three relationships that I'm going to use as examples tonight. So if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 19, look down at verse 5 where the Bible says, "And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Talking about the husband-wife relationship, and it's God's desire that they stay together till death do they part. And then in Proverbs 17:17, it talks about another relationship where the Bible says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Again, talking about the relationships we have with different people that we call friends. And the verse says, "Loveth at all times." And God wants us to have friendships that last a lifetime as well. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, talking about another relationship where it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Talking about the relationship that we as individuals have with the church. And there's other relationships, brothers and sisters, cousins, in-laws. I mean, there's all sorts of relationships that we are in, and God wants those relationships to last. But I'm going to look at those three: the husband and wife, a friend, and then the relationship that we have as with our church. If a man and woman are to stay married to one another for a lifetime, it's not because they're both perfect. Okay, that's right. It's not because they're the fact that if they stay together for a lifetime, it's not because they're perfect. It's because they've learned some principles that help them live with each other's imperfections. Some biblical principles. If you have a friend that remains true and close for a lifetime, it's not because you both have attained perfection, because you haven't. It's because you've learned some principles from the Word of God that helps that relationship go on. If you go to a church and stay at a church for a lifetime, it's not because you never make a mistake, or the pastor never makes a mistake, or a church doesn't, as a collective body, make a mistake. It's because everybody involved, the members, the pastor, the church itself, have learned some principles, some spiritual principles that preserve that relationship. And again, I'll just say, it is God's intent for us to have marriages that last forever. And I know some of you have suffered divorce, and I can't go back and undo what's happened in the past, but I can work on the one you're in now. So it's His intent that marriages last forever. It's His intent that friendships last a lifetime. It's His intent for us to be steadfast in our church relationships. Now, I know we move. I know, sometimes we have to change churches, but I think God is pleased when a people can come together and stay together for a long, long time as a church, as a pastor. I think God is displeased with people and pastors that change churches like they change socks. I mean, there's way too much going on of that, and I think it diminishes the ministry of not only the church, but the pastor. We all know it's easier to form a relationship than it is to maintain one. And again, lasting relationships are not built on perfection. If they were, none of us would have any of them. I mean, we'd all be by ourselves because none of us are perfect. But we can build lasting relationships based on the principles that are in the Word of God. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I can't tell you how to have lasting relationships. The Bible principles I'm going to talk about will probably not work for you. I can tell you that if you're not saved, you need to get saved. That Jesus died for your sins, and he's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. He died for your sins, and he paid the price for all of them. And if you'll come and ask him, he'll save you. And you need a relationship with God, and you need a relation through Jesus Christ in order to have lasting relationships on this earth. And so, again, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, that's the first thing you need to do. But if you're saved, I want to mention four things tonight that will help you maintain your relationships. And again, it will work for all three that I'm talking about. It will work for others. And so here we go. The first one is to foresee. Foresee. If we're going to preserve our relationships, we need foresight. In Psalm 27, verse 12, the Bible says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself." That word prudent means somebody's got sense. Somebody's got horse sense. Somebody's got common sense. And so a prudent man foreseeth. In other words, he looks ahead. He or she looks ahead. They don't just drift through life like, the hippies did back in the 60s. There's a Pepsi commercial that I saw yesterday. I don't know if you guys have seen it. Every new generation refreshes something. And they had a scene in there about the hippies. And some of you were hippies. I'm not preaching against hippies tonight. I'm just saying, a lot of them didn't care about what was going to happen tomorrow. They live for today. And this verse says we need to look ahead. And we need to see the evil, the damaging things, the things that will hurt, the things that will break up a relationship. And we need to hide from them. We need to get out of their way. We need to change course. And so, again, what that verse is saying, if we got any horse sense, if we got any common sense, we will see, look ahead, and we'll see those things that sometimes will hurt a relationship, and we'll get out of the way. It's like if you're driving your car down a two-lane highway, and you're in the right lane, you're minding your own business, and in the distance you see a car coming directly toward you in your lane. You don't know if the guy has had too much to drink. You don't know if he's trying to pass somebody that don't have their headlights on because you can't see anybody over in the lane that he should be. But, I mean, you're going this lane, and he's coming directly in your lane. You have a choice to make. You can say, well, I think he'll move because he knows he's in the wrong lane. Or you could say, well, I guess we're playing a game of chicken. We're going to see who moves first. Or you can be prudent, in other words, have horse sense, and pull over to the side of the road because you don't know what he's going to do. It's like that story I think I've told you before about that old black gentleman down south. He had to get a job, and he went to the railroad and talked to the station master and said, yeah, I can use some help around the train yard, but I need to ask you a question. And the old black gentleman said, okay, what's that? He said, well, I want you to pretend. I want you to pretend that you're standing right here and you see a train going 70 miles an hour coming this way, and you see a train going 60 miles an hour coming this way, and they're on the same track. What would you do? And this black gentleman says, well, I'd begin to holler at the top of my lungs, RT, RT. And the station master didn't quite understand. Well, they said, no, you must have misunderstood the question. He said, I don't understand. You got a train coming this way 60 miles an hour. Yeah, that's right. You got a train coming this direction, same track, 70 miles an hour. What would you do? He said, I'd holler RT at the top of my lungs. And the station master said, I don't understand. And the old black gentleman said, well, I got a friend named RT, and he ain't never seen a crash like that. So he wasn't hiding from the evil. He was just waiting to see, what was going to happen. And so let me just ask the practical question to the men that are here. How many of you, and don't raise your hand, but how many of you know something that would just set your wife off? Don't raise your hand. I don't want you to get in trouble. Nick doesn't know at all. I mean, you know something that you do, and it would just, that it sets your wife off. OK, Okay? Now, if you got any common sense, you'll hide from that thing. You'll stay away from it. But, you know, unfortunately, most of us are like RT. We go ahead and do it, and then we say, oh, I'm so sorry, honey. No, you're not sorry. If you were really sorry, you wouldn't have done it in the first place because you know that sets her off. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. You probably have friends, and you, there's something that you know will set your friend off. Now, you just need to stay away from it. If you're going to preserve your relationship, you just need to hide from it and stay away from it. Okay? Well, I won't use that example. Okay, so we just need to avoid them. So we need to foresee. And then number two, we need to forbear. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, forbearance means to actually bear in advance. Bear in advance. It's like establishing a buffer zone in your friendship or a buffer zone in your marriage. It actually, it's sort of like a football player that's carrying the ball that runs with his arm out, you know, straight arm like that, that you're trying to establish this zone between where the tackle is trying to get you and your body. You're trying to establish this zone so that he can't get to you. And here's an example of that. Just one example. You and I all know people that are very blunt. That's just their characteristics. They just say what's on their mind, and they don't think about how it'll make other people feel. They don't think about how it might be hurtful in some situations, but we know that they're very, very blunt. We just know that. Now, blunt people, sooner or later, are going to say something to you that's blunt. And setting up this zone, this buffer, forbearing, means that when I go into a relationship with a friend, and that friend is very blunt, I know sooner or later they're going to say something that might be blunt to me. And what I've done by establishing that zone is, I know it's going to happen sooner or later, so I'm still going to decide to go into that relationship, and when it happens, I'm not going to be surprised. And I'm not going to let it break up the relationship because I know it's going to happen. I mean, I saw that characteristic in that person before I went into the relationship. It's like our choir director on Sunday night getting on a couple of our men for saying the word "wash." He had the audacity to say, Linda, I mean, he had the audacity to say to our adult Sunday school teacher and our pastor, please don't say "wash." Pronounce the word correctly. And if I could say it correctly, I'd say it correctly, but I cannot say it correctly. And I told him, and I know this is true of Brother Leonard, we've been working on it for years to be able to say it the right way. But every time it comes out, it says, we say "wash." Now, he could get all upset, say, what's the matter with those guys? Why can't they say the word right? But he knows how we talk. So no use getting upset because he knows that he needs to forbear and understand that's just how we are. I mean, if we could change, we'd change. And again, I use that as a sort of a humorous example, but that's what I'm talking about. If you saw something in your spouse before they got married, just a trait that irritated you, and you went ahead and got married, hopefully you didn't do it with the idea, well, I'll change that when we get married. It doesn't work that way. I mean, what you see for the most part is what you get. And so when that trait comes out, don't get mad. Don't let it break up your relationship. You knew about it going in. Just get ready. When it happens, it happens. And that's what it means to forbear. So we foresee, we forbear, and then number three, we forgive. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, the Bible says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Okay, so I want you to notice the progression. Foresight. We get out of the way if we can. All right? Forbearance. If you can't get out of the way, you know that it's coming, so you just get ready for it, and you do what you can to keep from getting hurt. And then forgiveness. You didn't see it coming. You couldn't forbear because you couldn't plan for it. So it comes, and you get hurt, and so you forgive. You forgive. And again, the simplest definition of forgiveness is I give somebody another chance. I give somebody another chance. You just basically say, I'm not going to count that one. I'm not going to count it. We need to forgive like God has forgiven us. God forgives us. Aren't you glad God forgives us? I'm glad he forgives us. And a lot of times, he is more eager to forgive us than we have the desire to be forgiven. I mean, a lot of times, he forgives us when we don't even ask, when we don't even think to ask, when we don't even know to ask. And his forgiveness has no limits. I know there's a lot of people that get technical and say, you know, Peter asked the question of Jesus, well, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. And they'll do the math and say, well, 490 times. And they'll keep score. And I'll just remind you that there's another verse in the Bible in Ephesians chapter 4 that says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Put those two verses together. That says, I ought to forgive you 490 times in one day, and then the sun goes down and we'll start over. Say, well, that means I'd have to forgive everybody for everything. Well, you got it. I think that's what God wants us to do, is to forgive. And again, God's forgiveness eliminates the debt. It eliminates the debt. So, I foresee, I forbear, I forgive, and then number four, I forget. I forget. God not only forgives, that he forgets. And again, Adam and I had a discussion on this last time I talked about this subject, because I made the statement that, God forgets. He doesn't remember. Well, if he forgot, he wouldn't be God. He just chooses not to count it. Not to count it. That's what it means when he forgets. He just says, I choose this to let this be history. It's not a current event. I'm going to tear up all the list. And so I just choose not to remember. Now, God, I mean, he's God. He never forgets anything. But he chooses not to remember. And again, when somebody hurts us in a relationship, what our desire ought to be is to restore that relationship. You know, Terry's into old cars. Did you restore your hot rod? Okay, so he restored his hot rod. And so in other words, he tried to make it just like it was when it was new. Probably better than it was new, right? Tried to make it just as good as it was when it was new. And the same thing when we're hurt in a relationship, that ought to be our same desire, to restore it, not only to where it was, but to make it better than it was before the hurt came into it. And so, again, hopefully we're prudent enough, have enough sense to see what's coming and to get out of the way where we can. Hopefully we're smart enough that, you know, when we form relationships and we see irritating traits, and by the way, all of us have things that irritate other people. All of us. Now, maybe somebody's been kind enough to you and said, well, nobody's ever mentioned that to me before. Well, they're forbearing. They've already set up that buffer, and they know what's going to happen, but they've already decided to forgive you or overlook it when it happens. So we forbear. But then when it happens, when we don't see it coming and we didn't set up the buffer zone, then it happens. Again, don't let a hurt break up a relationship. Don't let a hurt feeling or an unkind deed or an unkind word break up a relationship. Because my experience has been, if you look at the relationship and you look at what broke it up, the worth of the relationship is like this compared to what broke it up. What broke it up. And staying in that relationship is more important to you as an individual, and I think more pleasing to God than letting something break it up. Okay, we're out of time. Thank you for being here tonight. Hopefully you can use those principles to, again, in all your relationships, and it would be pleasing to God. So let's stand, and we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed.